Well, good morning. Glad that you're here. We've got a number of folks away this weekend. I know Pastor Matt and Amber and the youth group are up at Camp Barakel. And so as we open our time together looking in God's Word, we'll certainly pray for them. But we trust that we'll continue in worship this morning as we spend a little bit of time now in God's Word. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 is where we're going this morning in the biblical text. But as you turn there, and as you find your place in Hebrews chapter 2, let me take just a moment and lead us in prayer, okay? You find your place, Hebrews chapter 2, and as you do that, let me look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come again before you this morning, and we're grateful for the privilege that we have of coming into your presence this way through prayer. You invite us to come, and you have opened the way up for us to come into your presence through Jesus Christ, and we're grateful for him. Grateful that he came to save us. Grateful that he took our sin upon himself and was nailed to the cross and died in our place. We're grateful that he conquered death and is victorious as our king today. He is the victor in our faith and confidence is in Jesus Christ. And we come today delighted in him and desiring to worship him and continuing to desire to worship him, to hear from him this morning. So we pray that you would open our ears and our minds and our eyes that we might see Christ in the pages of Scripture. Pray that we might listen to him and pay attention to him and know what it is to follow closely and to draw near and know that you're drawing near to us. Father, this morning I pray for all who are gathered here. I pray that you, by your Spirit, using your word, would minister to each and every one of us. There are some here who've been to a funeral this past week, and there's others who've had great times of rejoicing, and some that are sick and not able to even be with us this morning. Father, you know our needs, and you can do above and beyond what we ask, and we pray that you would meet our needs, and that we would glory in you and rejoice in the victory that you give. Father, I pray for those that are up at Camp Barakel this morning. I pray that even now, as they're in their chapel service, that you administer to our youth that are there, that the speaker might deliver a message from your word that tells the truth about you and the truth about them, and that they would have, again, ears to hear from you and a ready reception to receive from you. I pray that they would come home rejoicing, having met with you this weekend at camp. Father, again, thank you for our time together. Bless our continued fellowship with one another around your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I've said before that as a parent, sometimes you have peculiar conversations with your kids. Sometimes because they're peculiar. But as a parent, sometimes we have conversations with our kids, and the conversation goes something like this. You'd better listen to me. This is important. Pay attention. You want to hear this. If you don't listen, you won't like the consequences. But if you do listen and you do pay attention, there's a reward in it for you. Any of you parents know what I'm talking about? You don't have to be a parent necessarily to be aware of that type of conversation. We've heard it from other sources throughout our life. But to our kid, maybe it goes something like this. You better get your homework done before dinner. Now listen to me, this is important. You better get your homework done before dinner. Because if you don't get your homework done before dinner, after dinner, you'll be down in your bedroom doing your homework while we're out at the table playing games or having fun. So get your homework done before dinner. If you don't, you'll be in your room. And if you do, you can join us at the table, and we're going to have Slurpees. Yeah, big stuff. What we're saying is this. This is important. Listen to me. I use the silly illustration of homework and dinner and Slurpees. But we could use a lot of different illustrations of greater or lesser severity, of greater or lesser importance. But what we say when we're having this conversation is, listen to me, this is important. If you don't listen, let me warn you, there's consequences and you won't like it. But if you do listen, there's reward. As we open the book of Hebrews and as we begin to read the opening chapters, we discover this is the kind of speech that the writer to the Hebrews is engaging with his recipients of this letter. He's saying, listen up, this is important. There's a warning if you don't listen. Pay attention because there's great reward. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm reading from the ESV. Those of you who don't have an ESV, by the way, you don't need to get a new Bible. Some of you have been questioning, what Bible are you reading from? And I've switched translations. Don't buy a new Bible, but if your wording is a little bit different, just notice that I'm reading from a different translation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. What's the paraphrase? Hey, listen up, guys. This is important. Listen up. Well, what's so important? The therefore that is found in chapter 2, verse 1, the therefore is pointing us back to the first chapter, which we covered last week. And in that first chapter, the message of the first chapter is, hey, listen up, because God has spoken. God has spoken. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, the creator of the world, sustainer of the universe. And the message is, hey, listen up. God has spoken. God has spoken to us through the prophets. God has spoken to us by angels. God has spoken to us in these last days by his Son, Jesus. So therefore, listen up. God has spoken fully and finally to us through Jesus Christ. So pay attention. The importance here is the speaker. And the writer is saying in chapter 1, listen to Jesus. He's superior to the prophets. He is superior to the angels. So listen to him. So you think about it. God has spoken. He's spoken to our fathers through the prophets, and he's spoken to us in these last days through Jesus, the heir of all things, creator of the world. He's spoken to us by Jesus. This is not the president. This is not your congressman. This is not your senator. This is not Rush Limbaugh. This is not Katie Couric. This is not your boss. This is not your wife, your kids, your cousins. This is God has spoken. Pay attention. The importance is the speaker. Pay attention. Well, what's the warning? We're familiar with this kind of speech, and the writer's saying, listen up. We need to pay careful attention because God has spoken. We understand that. Well, what's the warning? Look back at chapter 2, and we're going to read on. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, God has spoken, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. What's the warning? The message is, pay attention, listen up. God has spoken. What's the warning? If we don't pay attention, what if we blow God off? What if we ignore his message? What if we ignore his speech? What's the warning here? Pay attention. Because if you don't pay close attention, we'll drift away, and drifting from Jesus is not safe. Drifting from Jesus is not safe. You don't, the writer is saying, you don't want to drift away from Jesus. God has spoken to us by Jesus, and you don't want to drift from him. If you ignore God's speech to us by Jesus, and if you neglect God's word, you will drift. And if you drift away, and if you don't trust in Jesus, there's no other message. There's no other deliverance coming along. There's no other word from the Lord. God has spoken to us in these last days by Jesus. Don't ignore Jesus. There's no other hope if you ignore him. There's no other rescue coming. In God's book, if you want to call it God's book, he's spoken by the prophets, and he's spoken finally by Jesus. And if you ignore this message, there's no third chapter. Drifting from Jesus is perilous. That's what the author is saying. Go back. I get very concerned with Christians, quote unquote, Christians today, who think, because they have a wrong belief about God, that drifting from Jesus is safe. They can do their own thing and live their own life and go their own way, and drifting from God's word and drifting from Jesus, it's fine. It's A-okay. Go back and ask the Israelites in the Old Testament. Go back and ask them if it's safe to drift from what God has said. Ask them. You can turn or you can listen in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You can read this on your own, but it says, Paul is writing, he says, I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food, and they all drank from the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put God to test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. Go back and ask the Israelites if it's safe to drift. Check it out. Go back and ask them. And they would boldly proclaim, it is not safe to drift from God's word, from what God has spoken. The writer here in Hebrews is saying, if the message declared by angels, if that message proved reliable and trustworthy, and every disobedience received a just retribution, you think if you ignore Jesus, it's going to be all right? No. Don't blow off God's speech to us by Jesus. You drift from him, and drifting from him is dangerous. Paying attention to Jesus is safe. It's salvation. Drifting from him is deadly. I've given some significant thought to this past week in this warning that we find in the text. And I've thought through this, and I'm thinking, boy, if there's a time when I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ, I've listened to him, and I've discovered he is the God that he's proclaimed himself to be, and I've listened to him, and I've placed my faith in Jesus, and I've been brought into God's family. But along comes time, and I begin to neglect Jesus, and I begin to not pay attention to him, and I begin to go my own way. What is it that I can expect? I can expect discipline. God is going to treat me as a son, and he's going to discipline me so that I might draw back near to him. And that's a good thing. Discipline from the Lord is a good thing if I'm a son, to draw back near to him. But as I think of that, I think, I don't want to be disciplined. That doesn't sound pleasant. Any of you really appreciate, I just want to be disciplined. Whew. Spank me. But if I've listened to Jesus and I belong to God, but if I begin to drift, that's what I can expect. God will discipline me. But if I'm drifting and there is no intervention and there is no discipline and I'm drifting along, what does the scripture say? Then you're drifting off to destruction. There is no other rescue. Jesus is the only way. So either way, whether I'm a believer in Jesus Christ or not a believer in Jesus Christ, drifting is dangerous. I don't want to go there. And for those of us hearing that message, the question isn't, well, how far can I drift? The question is, you don't want to drift. We're talking about Jesus, the superior one, inheritor of all things, creator of the world, savior of humanity. You don't want to drift from Jesus. God's spoken to us by Jesus. And the warning is, don't drift. As I said earlier, I'm fearful for Christians whose wrong beliefs about God think that it's all right to drift, and all right to go their own way and do their own thing, and they're going to be all right. That's not safe. This is what the writer is saying. God has spoken. Pay attention. You don't want to drift away. I think about Jesus' speech in Luke chapter 14. Jesus spoke a little parable, and it's kind of interesting in light of this context. He spoke a parable, and there is a master who threw a great banquet, or was going to throw a great banquet, and he sends out his messengers to tell all his friends and all the people, hey, the master is going to throw a great banquet. Come to the banquet. And so the messengers go out with a message, and everyone says, oh, yeah, I'll be there. The master's throwing a banquet. I'll count me in. And so the master prepares this great banquet, and the time has come, and he sends the messengers back out, and they run out to tell the people, the banquet is ready. Come, the banquet is prepared. And the people say, nah, I got a new iPhone. I think I want to play with it. No, I just got married. I think I'll stay home. No, I just bought a new house. I think I'll pass. No, I just bought some new oxen, and I want to work them. And no, I just bought a new car. One by one, they all begin to say, I'll take a pass. Count me out. I'll come next time, maybe. You remember that parable? It doesn't go well for those people, right? Yeah. The writer here is saying, listen, God has spoken by the prophets, by angels, and by Jesus, and Jesus is superior. And you go back and ask the Israelites if it was safe to blow off the message by Moses and the angels. And if it wasn't safe for them, how do you think it's going to be safe for you if you blow off Jesus? It's not safe. And we need to, as Christians, hear that message. I'm afraid we've got a theological system where we just kind of bypass that. And the writer is writing to Christians and he's saying, don't ignore Jesus, you'll drift. And drifting is not safe. Well, what's the good news? Let's move on. The important thing, Jesus has spoken, the warning, don't drift from Jesus. Well, what's the reward? What's the good news? What if I pay attention to Jesus and listen to him? What good news is there for me? Now look at, we're going to continue on the text, verse 5. Now, this is a little bit interesting. He says, now it was not to angels. He's back speaking about angels again. This is interesting. He spoke about that in the first chapter. Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. Now before we read on, who has God subjected the world to come? To those who listen to Jesus. Who has God subjected the world to come? To those who listen to Jesus, to redeemed humanity. Okay, keep that in your mind as we read this. I'm going to reveal that to you in a little bit, but let's read it again. Now, it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, Psalms 8. We're going to look there. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, man, he left nothing outside his control. At the present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we do see him, Jesus, who for a little while was made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with honor, glory, and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Wow. What's the reward? We know Jesus has spoken. You don't want to drift for Jesus. What's the reward for paying close attention to Jesus? He has secured a victorious inheritance. In this passage of Scripture, the writer of the Hebrews, he quotes Psalm 8. Now, I normally don't have you turn to another passage. Put your finger in Hebrews chapter 2, where we are, and find your place in Psalms chapter 8. It's only a few verses long, but you need to read it to understand the reward here. Psalms chapter 8. If you don't want to turn there, you can just listen along, but I would encourage you to. Psalms chapter 8 is where the writer is speaking of our reward. He says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. Now I'm at chapter 8, verse 3. The psalmist is saying, when I look at your heavens, God, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the work of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beast of the field and the birds of heaven and the fish of the sea, and whatever path passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What is the writer saying? He's saying, O God, man, you are majestic. You are God on high. You have created man. You have made him a little lower than the angels, but you've created him uniquely. You have made him in your image. And you have crowned him. And you have given him dominion over the work of your hands. You have made man to exercise dominion over creation. Well, what does that mean for us today? Well, that means we till our gardens. And we plant our flower beds. And we have animals and we feed them and we take care of them, and we train our dogs, and we harvest from the fruit of the trees that we plant. We do exercise a certain dominion over the work of God's hands. But flip back to Hebrews chapter 2, where I had you leave your finger. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7. Again, quoting the psalmist, you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet, all of his creation. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At the present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. Okay, so God has created us to rule over creation, over the work of his hands. But that rule and that dominion over creation has been shattered by sin. Sin was introduced, and it wreaked havoc on all of this. For example, we can make antibiotics, but people still get sick. We can make cell phones, but we don't get along with our neighbors. We've created the internet, and we can talk to people on the other side of the world, but we still kill one another and go to war. We've developed chemotherapy, but people are still dying of cancer. We've developed aspirin, but people are still having heart attacks. And the writer of the Hebrews is saying, hey, you have created man. You made him a little lower than the angels, but you've crowned him with glory and honor, and you want him to rule over all of creation. But we don't see that. We don't see that taking place. Sin has wrecked this, and we no longer have dominion. We no longer have dominion over sickness, over disease, over poverty, over war, over death. Death, according to Romans chapter 6, death reigns, right? Any of you think you're going to beat that one? In Jesus, we will. Because he says, we don't see everything in subjection to man, but we see Jesus. Oh, but he's crowned with glory and honor, and everything is in subjection to Jesus. We have no dominion, death reigns, but Jesus, he came, and he took on flesh. Jesus, he became a man. He became just like us. He became one of us, and he died. And he busted death in the teeth. He busted it. He died, and he was buried, but he rose again. And Jesus, he's victorious. He's the victor, warrior, king. So listen to Jesus, because there's reward in listening to Jesus. He's a victor. Jesus won. And if you want to win, you listen to Jesus. You pay attention to him. That's what the writer's saying. This is important. You don't want to drift from Jesus. He's God's message to us. You don't want to drift from him. He's the only way. And Jesus, the reward is, you want to rule and reign over the earth, over the creation, over the world to come? Well, Jesus is the way. Everything is in subjection to him. Pay close attention to him. I'm not going to have you turn to these passages, but you think about the message of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, it says, those who listen to Jesus and keep in step with the Spirit of Christ, what are they called? Romans chapter 8. Those who listen to Jesus and they keep in step with the Spirit of Christ, they're not drifting from him, they're called co-heirs. Co-heirs with Jesus. What does Hebrews chapter 1 say? Jesus has inherited all things. Everything's been given to Jesus. Do you want? Look at it. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Jesus is the heir of everything. Everything is subjected to him. You pay attention to him, because those who listen to Jesus and follow, keeping the step of the Spirit, they're called co-heirs. Co-heirs. When's the last time you thought about, I'm a co-heir of Jesus Christ? I listen to him, pay attention with him, keep in step with the Spirit, and everything Jesus has been given, I'm going to have too? You got to be kidding me. That's what Romans 8 says, those who listen to Jesus and follow. They're co-heirs. You could turn to Revelations chapter 3. Revelations chapter 3 says, those who have Jesus come away from the door and come into the table, and they sit with Jesus at the table, and they converse with Jesus at the table. They talk, they listen to Jesus. What does it call them? You look at Revelation chapter 3, end of the chapter. Those who have Jesus come in from the door, sit at the table, and they listen to Jesus. It says they are the ones who will be given the right to sit with Jesus on his throne. You got to be kidding me. I can't hardly begin to fathom that, folks. Those who listen to Jesus and keep in step with the Spirit are called co-heirs with Christ, and those who have him at the table and they listen to Jesus, they will sit with Jesus on his throne and rule with him forever. You got to be kidding me. That's huge. That's the reward. That's the reward the writer of Hebrews is speaking of. He says, you know, listen up, pay attention. God's spoken. And the importance here is the speaker. God has spoken to us in these last days, fully and finally, by Jesus, the inheritor of all things. Listen to him. You blow him off, there's no other chapter. You blow off Jesus, you neglect the great salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, there's no other rescue. There's no other hope. There's no other message. You don't blow off Jesus. You don't neglect such a great salvation. Any of you have a great salvation? Any of you have a great salvation? Saved from sin, saved from destruction, saved from judgment, saved from condemnation, saved from yourself, saved from eternal damnation, saved unto Jesus, saved unto God, saved unto an inheritance that is reserved in heaven, undefiled, unperishing, will not go away. Will rule and reign with Jesus over the world to come forever. Any of you have a great salvation? You don't neglect that. You don't ignore that. You don't blow it off and treat it as though it is inconsequential. Because the reward is huge. Listen to Jesus. That's the whole message. Listen to Jesus. The people that the author of the Hebrews is writing to. This book was written largely to Jews who had placed their faith in Jesus. But this group was living in a time when the temple in Israel had yet to be destroyed. This is before AD 70. And so here are these Jews living in Jerusalem, and they've heard about Jesus, and they've heard about his death and his resurrection, and they've come to believe that he's God, and they've placed their faith in Jesus. But time is marching on, and time is getting really tough for Christians because the Romans have them under persecution, and it's getting really difficult, And then at the same time, there's this temple down the road. And they went to the temple, you know, all the time, and there's priests there, and there's sacrifices there, and there's prayers, and there's this whole religious system. And they think, maybe I'll just kind of leave off this Jesus and go back to what it was. I'll go back and worship at the temple and sacrifice my sheep. And the writer's saying, pay attention to Jesus. He's superior to the prophets and angels. Don't drift from him. Don't leave him. There's no other chapter. Pay attention to Jesus. Listen to him. Well, as it comes to us today, let me close off with just asking all of us a question. Are you today making provisions to listen to Jesus? That's an important question. Are you making provisions to listen to Jesus? We make provision to watch our favorite television show. And we make provision to catch Rush Limbaugh at 1. Some of us, me. And we make provision to listen to our radio programs and our TV shows and our news commentators and all sorts of other voices. Practically, are we making provision to listen to Jesus? I have a couple quotes. They're in the Bible study that I produce and put out for you. If you're on my email list, you got it Friday, or should have got it Friday. If you don't have it, there's copies out on the back table. It's a Bible study that you can use this week to study the Word. But in that, I put a couple quotes. I want you to listen to them as I close. Joe Stoll, he said this, "Life is a search for a voice we can trust. A single voice that puts all other voices into quiet perspective. A voice that settles the loudness all around us and speaks peacefully, yet clearly and confidently. A voice that we can gladly follow. Jesus Christ is the voice. Those who have set their hearts to hear his voice and follow him have been liberated from the din and frustration of the seductive voices that threaten their destinies." What's he saying? There's all sorts of voices that we can listen to every day. There's all sorts of voices. But are we listening to Jesus? Those who listen to Jesus and follow have been liberated from all of the seductive voices that threaten people's destinies. C.S. Lewis, very interesting quote. He said this. C.S. Lewis said that a person who is determined to ignore God's voice. You want to ignore God's voice? A person who is determined to ignore God's voice will follow this advice. Avoid silence. Avoid solitude. Avoid any train of thought that leads off the beaten track. concentrate on money, sex, status, health, and above all, concentrate on your own grievances. Keep the radio on, live in a crowd. You'll find yourself blowing off God and his message every day. And the writer's saying, this is important. God has spoken. Spoken to us by Jesus. Pay attention. Pay attention. You don't want to drift from Jesus. Drifting is not safe. But you listen to Jesus and follow, and you'll find yourself a co-heir with Jesus and one who will rule with Jesus from his throne over the world to come forever, because Jesus won. He defeated death. He's the victor warrior king. Listen to Jesus. Pay attention to him. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We're thankful for the instruction that we receive, the truth that we receive about yourself and about your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We're thankful for the warnings that are given for our good, for our benefit, and we're thankful for the reward that you give. It blows our mind. The promises that are ours in Jesus Christ, we can hardly begin to fathom. Jesus is the inheritor of all things. We'll share in that. It amazes us. We'll sit with Jesus on his eternal throne. We can't fathom it. Oh, thank you for the great promise of reward found in Jesus Christ. We want to be a people who listen to Jesus, keep in step with him. And we want to be a people who encourage one another along that way. And I pray that the preaching and our fellowship and our time of speaking with one another would accomplish that very end of drawing near to Jesus, trusting in Jesus, keeping in step with the Spirit of Christ. I pray that you would do that work in our hearts and minds, in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I didn't share with you any announcements earlier this morning. Let me give you a few. They're in your bulletin, put in your hands. I'm not going to cover all of them. I do want to draw attention to the fact that we do put out a weekly Bible study. It's for you. You don't have to do it. If you don't like to, if you're doing your own Bible study, that's great. But we put out a Bible study that goes along with the preaching, and it's available back in the foyer. We also have small groups that meet throughout the week, and those are also centered on a time where you can get together and just discuss what you're reading, discuss the message, and discuss its application to life. And the times are in your bulletin. And we just started this past week, and so I want to highlight a few of them, because there's one that meets on Wednesday morning at breakfast. So those of you who are kind of early morning people, meets Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. at Bringer Inn. There's another one Wednesday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's for ladies here at the church. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, it's a combined Bible study. And I lead that. Men and women together, it's a combined Bible study led by myself, and then there's breakout prayer groups that follow that. Thursday night, there's a ladies' one at Tim Hortons down in Michigan and State. And then Saturday morning, there's another men's time at the table here at the church. It's a breakfast and also Bible study with John Glupker. So those are all available to you, and you're encouraged to participate in those. Also, those of you who are members here, just want to draw your attention to the fact of later this month, the last Wednesday of this month, is our quarterly business meeting. And it's important that you be here. We are affirming and reaffirming elders. We're voting into place for next year our deacons and deaconesses. There'll be discussions on the budget, discussions on our facility advancement and improvements. Also, if you notice in your bulletin, Pastor Matt is going to be ordained, I think at the end of February. The date is there in the bulletin. And so ordination council and plan for Pastor Matt, and we're looking forward to that. But take notice of the business meeting later this month, and if you're a member here, plan to come. It'll be important that you be here. Tonight, 5 o'clock, we gather back together, all of our children's and youth ministries. Remember, it's 5 o'clock. They meet here. Children and youth meet here. There's an adult class that meets here, and John Glupker and I lead that, Ask the Elder. It's been a good class already. We're looking forward to continuing that class. And then over at the Christian Reformed Church, 1 mile to the east, it's on the Mackinac and Cotchville, corner of Mackinac and Cotchville. Phil Luter's leading a class there, and it's Foundations for Faith, what we believe, why we believe it, why it's important. Both of them adult classes you're welcome to. Trust that you've been blessed as a result of our time together this morning. I'd encourage you to encourage one another. And God bless you. We'll see you back tonight at 5 o'clock. You are dismissed.